You don't wait for it. You make it. You make it happen. There is no, I'm waiting on anything. If you're waiting on it, that could be forever. And so the slingshot mindset was most people are standing still and they're just waiting around. I said, no, my comeback is the more steps I take back, the more I'm preparing to launch myself.
That's Christopher Gilbert. And he, like a lot of us, had a really rough last year, but he was able to change his mindset, realize his own greatness, and use a slingshot mindset, something that you can do too. He's a super inspirational guest, and I can't wait for you to hear this week's episode of Riggs Off the Radio. It's Mental Health Monday. Let's go. Mental Health Monday is an informational podcast and should not be used to replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a healthcare or mental health care professional. Mental Health Monday can't be held responsible for the use of the information provided. Please always consult a trained mental health professional before making any decision regarding treatment of yourself or others. Self-help information and podcasts and information on the internet is useful, but not always the substitute for professional assistance. Unless otherwise noted, guests of Mental Health Monday are not doctors or licensed in any way. Our hope is to make a connection with you and be more open and honest about everyone mental health. Thanks for checking it out. Enjoy the podcast. Positivity recognizes positivity. So when I came across Christopher Gilbert on Instagram, an incredibly talented artist, choreographer, dancer, and musician who uses his craft as a form of self-care, not only for himself, but for the betterment of others. He's creating change in the community, and he has an impressive resume, and he's just getting started. We'll talk about how we use the downtime during COVID to self-reflect and come out better and stronger than ever. We'll hit on some of the things he's learned in therapy, the limitations we put on ourselves, being different, being judged for who you are. It's just a good talk this week. You can totally tell why he's a motivational speaker as well. The dude just oozes focus, determination, and positive energy. My guest this week for Riggs Off the Radio on Mental Health Monday, Christopher D'Angelo Gilbert.
Indeed.
And I have done some research into you, and you've done some cool stuff. I mean, you've done
a few things. There's a few.
But whether it's on stage with the Chainsmokers, which was pretty
cool. That happened, yeah. That was a thing.
Yeah, you were in the music video with Webster X that just dropped earlier this year.
Yeah, Huffy.
Which was cool.
The album's coming.
Yeah. You did the choreography for Black Nativity.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah, so like, yeah, there's a few things.
Yeah, so let me go through your resume. Yes. Yo Gabba Gabba Live, Grand Dancers, Leader at the Milwaukee Bucks, all this stuff.
Yeah, I think before we jumped into it, as I was saying, I'm a homebody. So if it's got to do with the home team, I will represent. I played every position before. I've been a starter. I've been on the bench. I've been the water boy. So, you know, if it's to get us all to the top and make sure we get, you know, to where we need to be as people and in our growth, I'm the best team player that comes.
You've kind of taken your arts and your craft, which is choreography and dancing, and you've turned that into a beautiful form of self-care for yourself and using it for others as well, because you just finished something at Dominican High School as well, where you were working with a bunch of kids and helping them do a big dance routine as well. So,
right.
When did you know that dance was the thing for you? Like, when did that become an outlet for you for self-care?
My mom is an advocate for self-care and positivity and embracing other people's greatness. So she worked in NPS for 25 years. She started at Washington High School. Then she went to middle school to Lincoln Center of the Arts. And then she went to Elm Creative Arts for elementary. Right. So she went from the top of the chain down to the little ones. So I've watched her from day in and day out. As you know, some workers, depending on what the job is, going early, come home late. Yeah. Make sure kids have something to eat if they need a place to stay. She used to pick people up from off the bus stop, like when I was a kid, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about. But it was like those little things is like, okay, if you're a person that cares enough and everybody can be that way, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
So before I realized what it really was and what she was doing, it was instilled in me from day one.
Sure.
From just being in the same room, witnessing it, seeing it at home all the time. So I knew, I was like, okay, I'm connected to dance. She had a big involvement in that. She allowed me to be as creative as possible with it. But then also I knew that there was some other layer to it with how you care for people and how you create spaces for people to feel more like themselves. And so I knew, I was like, at some point in my life, I got to find a middle ground to where these both can connect. Cause you can do steps for days. You can teach people, you can do all that stuff. But then something I realized a long time ago is like, you know, Riggs, you might come to a dance class of mine's, and that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Now you may not remember a step once you leave, but what you will remember is how I made you feel.
That's a Maya Angelou right there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's a powerful thing. So I was like, man, you got to make that count more so than a two-step.
Yeah.
Because a two-step is not forever, but who you are as a person, that'll last forever.
Right.
So for me, yeah, it was like high school, freshman year, 14 is when I started to take it like serious. And I was like, okay, I started teaching and that was great. But then I was like, I have to start forming some kind of a lesson plan or like a syllabus that is based on self-empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, and that, because then it really counts. Then you feel it a little bit more. And so throughout high school, I was pushing that narrative and trying to change it from, oh, you're just some dance teacher, to now, nah, I'm a motivational mover, you know, and moving people through motivation. The balance of those two worlds, like it's possible it can correlate if you figure it out. And so for me, I was like, okay, let me sit back with that. And it starts with what? Self, which is what we are going to talk about mostly today.
Yeah.
And it starts with you. And then, like I said, what you reflect out, people, you know, that'll make the difference in what they do and who they become, and obviously what they, how they gravitate to you. So, yeah.
Was there a time when you weren't happy with yourself and how you were, like how you were treated at school?
I would say my 20s were rough because I did a lot of just like, I'm just moving just because this is what my life has become now. So this is just what I know. I'm content with that. That's the way that it should be. So I feel like, now when I reflect back on it, I didn't love myself enough to love anybody else truly. You're just going with what you know because it's just the flow of things. And it's like, yeah, to the outside world, oh, you're being active and like you're doing all this work and it's cool. But it's like, are you really enjoying it? Are you just doing it because, like I said, it's just what you know. And there's some attention that comes with it. So you take that for what it is. Maybe it gets to your head or your ego, but it's about sitting back and then really reflecting on what does it mean to you and why do you do it in the first place, especially when you have so many people that invest in you.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when they're from your community. It's a little bit different. You know, I spent some time in LA and that was cool, but the work that I do here is much more meaningful because I'm like,
here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm giving it to the people that I know see me in a different light. They're from literally the same neighborhoods as me. They understand how this world works here. Our world is different here in comparison to LA. So I was like, you can't have a carefree mindset. You can be free, but care enough to create and build for people to be better, you know, overall. So that's the bigger vision that I've taken away from now, taking time off to really just look at myself and then now projecting that out to other people so they can do the same thing. So yeah.
I've heard you talk a lot about realizing your greatness too. Like you think like everybody has their own greatness inside of them. They just don't know what it is. So
yeah.
I think a lot of us are kind of lost and figuring, I'm not great.
Right,
I'm just
an
average person.
Right, right.
So what kind of, you're a motivational speaker as well. So what do you say to somebody that's down on themselves like that? Because a lot of us are, especially men, we're like, I'm not good enough. I'm not great. I'm just good. I'm okay.
Right.
Enough to get by. So how do you realize that greatness that you have within yourself?
I think it comes down to not worrying about the standards of the world and what everybody else is going to think. It's easy because so how do you measure greatness? It's usually a certain standard that we've all built up in our minds. Like if it looks a certain way, that's what it has to be. If it's not that, then it's never that. And it's like, nah.
If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, okay, so the standard of basketball is probably Michael Jordan. You're like, okay, you want to look like a champion. You want to feel like one. You want to live that life, you probably got to be in his shoes. But it's only one Mike. He moved how he moved. That's his greatness. Scottie Pippen had his own greatness. He's not Mike. But you know that's greatness.
Oh, yeah.
He realized what he brought to the team. So it's understanding what you bring to the world team. Everybody has something that they bring that's effective and impactful. Whether you feel like it's big or small, it still means something. If you're here, I always say you have a purpose. So now it's just realizing what do you bring to the table as far as the world table, and your table can be just your community. It could be your country. It could be the world, you know, depending on it. It's how you look at it. So it's not worrying about living up to something or trying to be more than what you are. I always tell people, you don't have to aim for what you already are.
I like that.
When you realize that, then it's like, oh, I am great.
I'm already great.
Yep.
I'm good enough as I am.
And we do this comparison game all the time. How many times do we swipe? Oh, I could have a little bit more of this, or I should have that, or if I had a wife like that, or if I had a car like that, all these, you know, everything else that has nothing to do with necessarily just you. It's all usually material things, or like I said, these standards that we put in place that for some reason have just stayed in place, and that's just the way it is.
We are our own worst critics, aren't we?
It's crazy. It is the most insane. Like me, I get on myself all the time, and most people might say, what are you talking about? Like, you seem like life's great. You're moving. Like, you're doing what you want to do. So why would you be hard on yourself? I'm like, no, I'm always like, I could be more. But then I'm quarantine happened, and it was a moment where it's like, you can only do what you can do. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, bro. For what it is,
right?
You can't complain about anything.
No.
The way that you're moving, the way that you create, do you get to wake up every day and do what you love to do? Yep. Is it empowering other people to a certain extent? Yep. And are you doing it in the city that you love? Yep. Yeah, you probably don't have anything to complain about. You really shouldn't.
That's a hat trick of greatness right there.
I'll take it. Yeah, that is what greatness is.
Yeah.
And realizing it, you know, and not just, because for me, I take it as I have a responsibility. Like, I grew up on the north side of Milwaukee. I've never seen anybody that looks like me doing what I'm doing in my city, in our city. So that means you should be doing this to the fullest and with no regrets, and capitalizing on every chance that you have to be great, but also make everybody else around you great.
Yeah.
And that's my day in and day out mission, because I understand that, like, to be doing anything that I'm doing, you're changing the narrative, but that's what greatness looks like.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
And what do you, I'm kind of upset that we're on a podcast, because I wish I could show you. I'm sure that people can see you, because you're always dressed very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that's a projection of what you would like to,
you already know,
of how you are. So how do you decide what you're wearing, and is it all done with purpose and intent, everything that you're wearing? Are you showing a message? Are you giving, what's behind that?
Man, I think, so we live in a visual world.
Yeah.
And everybody, whether they know you or not, that's probably most 9 times out of 10 is what they're probably going to judge you by. Now, it's not about anybody else. This is about self. Mm-hmm. So literally what we're talking about, it comes back to, how do I feel? What do I feel like I am my best self in? For me, I was like, a suit. So this stems from a comment that my mom made to me when I was like maybe like 10 or 11. I'll never forget this. She said, when you move out of my house and you go out into the world, or you just leave my house, when I was in school at that time.
Yeah.
You not only represent me, you represent our entire family. Now, I got a pretty big family. So that's in my
pressure.
Mind, yeah, I was like, yeah, if it's big, that means you got to go big every day. So when I was in LA, I was in the middle of like trying to figure out identity and who I was, because out there, either you are yourself or you're trying to be something that you're not, because everybody's a lot of different things out there. It's very obvious.
You got a lot of people that'll call you on it too.
Oh, and without any hesitation.
If you're being fake, they'll know.
Yeah. And so, and that's because that's the place where it just, you know, you see it, you know it, you can't deny it. So I was wearing like ties and like jeans and like a blazer, like I was doing like the European look.
Yeah.
But then I was like, nah, if you're gonna come correct, you gotta come all the way correct.
Yeah.
So then that's what birthed the idea of like suits and wearing full suits and just being clean, whether it's in auditions or whether it's just on a regular Tuesday, 2:39 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
No special occasion, just cause. You never know. And I live by this quote that I believe in, I've always believed in since I've heard it, is I don't want my best dressed day to be in a casket.
I like that.
So that means until that day, now I don't know when that day is, I got to go big. There's no excuse whatsoever. And I've joked with my family. I said, you're going to have a hard time trying to figure out what to put me in my casket.
I was going
to
say.
Because every day is going to be exactly what you see it, coming correct, clean. Always. And also, it is a way of showing exactly who I am. And it's a conversation starter. So if somebody, well, what are you about? What do you do? Now I can speak my message and what I live by into other people.
But it's not just for other people. You feel better personally.
Right.
You feel better when you're dressed like this. When you have on something that expresses you and how you are.
Yeah.
Because you're being your true self.
Yeah. And that's something that I want for everybody. Like the feeling of waking up every day and I get to do what I love to do for the rest of my life. Getting paid is the bonus for it, but I was doing it before I was getting paid. So I would still do it that way.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta live, so I'll take it for what it is. But yeah, I love what I do, and that's being able to feel empowered as a person and then to instill that into other people is one of the coolest feelings in the world. Like I said, better than teaching a two-step, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like now, if you feel better about yourself, I feel better about myself. Everything makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What are we really stressing about? Why is anybody envious or jealous? If everybody's vibing and they feeling good and everything makes sense with yourself, and then you give that to somebody else, we all win. I'm like, we all in this thing together. Doesn't matter, you know, skin tone, background, religious beliefs.
Gender, as long
as
anything
you,
that,
yeah, as long as you're a good person and you vibing and you can and you're doing the same thing with like bringing something, like I said, to the table, which is who you are and yeah. what you do, and then obviously embracing each other. I mean, we can't really ever lose in life, and yeah. I've that's something that I've realized in growing up in Milwaukee and in, you know, traveling with playing music and doing shows and different stuff like that. It's like just being a solid person goes a long way. Just being a decent human being
yeah.
changes the narrative of so much, especially when I travel and people are like, where are you from? And I tell them, they're like, no, you're not from Milwaukee. In their minds, they see it as either this little violent city, or they see it as nothing that they know. They know little to nothing about, or it's like, oh, you grew up on the cornfields with like cows all this. And so I'm like, every time that I'm speaking to whoever that it is, I'm changing the narrative about leading with love and pushing positivity, you know, as a message. It's like, oh, okay, so that's what Milwaukee's about. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
And this starts with the presentation.
Did you, at any point, I'm going to go a little deep here. Did you ever go to a point when you were working on yourself, when you sought out therapy or anything like that, or maybe a counselor?
Come on. Let's go there. 2019.
Thank you. Good.
Is when I first dived into that thing, the fall of 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, fall of 2019. And it was one of those things where, because I am the kind of person I am, and I'm like, I'm always positive, I don't need that. I'm upbeat. I'm good. I'm in such a space. My mindset is always on a high. Why would I need that? And little did I know, it was like, dude, we all have stuff to unpack. Mm-hmm. We all have something that we carry with us that shouldn't be in our carry-on. We take these flights and we bring stuff with us that shouldn't be there. And sometimes we travel miles and miles or years with things, and it's like we never think about it because it's just not something that we tend to. And growing up, where I grew up, where it was predominantly Black, and it's like, man, nothing's wrong with you. We don't talk about that. That's not a thing in our culture, and we're fine.
It's hard for men and Black men to speak up and be like, I need to go get help.
Right.
Because it's a pride thing, too, for men and Black men, too. So.
And something that I learned, you know, so much about in therapy was toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of weakness if you say something's wrong with you. So you're supposed to hold it in. You can't speak on that as a man, you know, definitely being Black as well. But just as a man, like, no, we don't do that because we're fine. We just tough it out. And I'm like, no, you gotta tap into that. It's there. And the signs are always there.
Oh, yeah.
We just ignore them. And a lot of times it's for quite some time. And then what happens is you keep brushing all these different things under the rug. You keep walking in the house and you see it, and that rug keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, your guest or whoever that comes by is like, so you're not going to take care of that?
You're not going to clean under this rug?
Is that the aesthetic? Is that what? And I'm all about being styled and clean. I'm like, yeah, that's really not. I should probably clean that out.
Yeah.
And so when I jumped into it, it was just like a reset. And for me, it was kind of like how quarantine was. I had to sit with myself. I had to really think about it. I had to lay it all out, all on the table, and look at it, put all my chips in the middle and say, okay, I'm all in. Let me figure out what I need to do to get myself mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, financially, everything back to square one. Because I was so, like I said, my 20s was a lot of just, I'm just moving. And there was no thought of stopping, because you're like, well, you're doing something that was never thought of. When I grew up, art, I was always told that's a bad investment. You're not going to make any money. That's not the move to make. Dancing is not masculine. So why would you do that? And so now that I was in a position, and I am in a position to take care of my family and do what I want to do and make a name for Milwaukee whenever I travel in a positive light, I'm like, oh, I'm never going to stop doing this. I'm going to do this as much as I can. And like I said, therapy was the first step back. For me, not setback, because most people might say this, oh, well, that's down and something's wrong. And I was like, nope, it was the perfect step back for me to get my footing right and just to sit with myself and to get it right. So I was already in this transitional space in my life 2019 before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
So when quarantine hit, I was like, okay, now this is a reason for me to really sit with it, because a lot of times, I'm not going to lie, there's a part of me that was like, I had a lot of work coming up in 2020 that I had lined up, and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm just going to go back to what I'm doing. And then, you know, I'll work on the therapy thing on the side. No, once you start that process, you have to really work and indulge in it. Otherwise, you're never going to be true to what you want to be and get to where you want to be. And so I had basically a year, I was 6 months ahead of time before quarantine to really sit with it, and quarantine gave me all of the reasons to really say, yeah, now let's work on this thing. So whatever I do coming out of this, going into obviously 2021, now I can put all this work to into action. I was in the locker room, you know, working on the drawing board, or I had to go back to the drawing board to figure it out, figure out some new plays, you know, get a different setup, you know, maybe taste a little bit of different Gatorade or something, you know, before I get back out there in the game and get to into serve, because that's what I see myself as, is like I'm here to serve people, you know, and have them see themselves in a higher light, you know, than they ever have before, and then continue to, because it's an ongoing thing. It's a work in process, in progress. And it never stops. So, you know, So therapy's huge for me.
Going back to the toxic masculinity thing, and kind of the, I guess you're into dancing now, which that has been viewed as a feminine thing, that's a women thing. Do you still encounter that? And how do you counter that when that still comes up? Or has it kind of gone away since you're on a different level now?
It's interesting how, like I say, it's the visual world we live in, the perspective of how people look at it now in comparison to back then. It was frowned upon. It was like Footloose. How dare you? Don't do that. And but now it's like, oh, well, it's everything. It's in the forefront. It's in movies, commercials, TV shows, TikTok, you know, like all this stuff.
Like, dude, TikTok changed the game.
It is an insane amount, right? So you got grandmas, you know, dancing to Cardi B and doing all this stuff. And it's like, oh, that's wow. She wants to move to that. That's crazy. And, and to me, I sit back and I always had this like Jimmy D. Cricket in my ear, like, you're fine. Regardless of whatever they're saying, just stick to it, stay true to it, and watch what'll happen.
Let your conscience be your guide.
And man, how that turned and worked in my favor. And because I look at a lot of kids that I work with that are artistic, and most of them get in their heads about whether it's their parents telling them not to, or it's their colleagues, you know, their classmates, whoever is telling them, like, you know, like, I think kids will be more embraced now, but like, it's in a different way, where when people are a little bit more like, don't do that. And it's like bullying. It is an all time high, but it's different because it's now social media and all these different things. I look at those kids, I'm like, dude, that was you. I was literally you. And I know it might sound to you like, you just saying that to make me feel great. I'm like, no, stick with it, because I'm a walking testament of what happens when you stay true to it. You will get there. The vision may seem blurry. The path may not be smooth, but I'm telling you, this uphill climb is going to be worth it when you get there. And so now a lot of people that told me not to do it back in the day see me like, oh man, I'm so proud of you. I like what you do. And then I'm like, right. And most thank people you. Like, when you tell those people off, I'm like, no, I tell them thank you. Cause that was, they put it in perspective to say, usually if that you had that many people probably telling you not to do something, and there's this pushback, it's probably you moving towards something that's right for you. Cause it's not about anybody else.
No.
It's about the vision that you see for yourself and what you want. And I always saw it. I felt it. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. I'd be lying. I'd be lying to you if I said, yeah, I knew it was going to be this. Absolutely not. The idea of having your work seen inside of the Fiserv Forum in front of 17,500 people. I'm a Northside kid, like literally Milwaukee through and through. I never thought that would happen. I remember sitting in the nosebleeds watching Ray Allen score and thinking, like, one day it'd be great to be on that floor.
Yeah. With the crowd cheering for you.
Yeah, you know, like, but that seems unrealistic. It's never been done. I've never seen a choreographer from the city of Milwaukee working here with his work being seen on the floor. I've just never seen it. So for me, I'm like, to be in that position, man, the game can change at any given moment.
I bet.
You know, but you got to stick with it.
You were talking about something. You do something called Boss Mode Talks on your IG.
Yeah.
It's like it's a mental health podcast is essentially what it looks like to me.
Yep.
And you talked about something called the slingshot.
Yeah.
And how kind of taking a step back to propel yourself forward.
Absolutely.
And I really like that. Can you talk a little bit about how, what that is and how people can use that to kind of, because sometimes we have to take steps back in order to move forward.
Yep.
I love that.
It's always that way. Quarantine was nothing but a slingshot. Like the whole I had a complete year off, so I'm going through all these emotions of like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Well, what is next? Do I dance again? I felt like I was paralyzed because I was like, I had no movement. This is the first time. So 2013 is when I went full-time as an artist. I've maybe taken 2 or 3 days off.
Other than that,
every few months,
every day,
you know what I mean? Like, this is an everyday thing. I'm living this. This is what I know. This is all that I know because I love it that much. So to have it be taken from me for a year. Oh my.
It's like taking off your arms, man.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I feel crippled. I don't know what to do. And I'm going crazy and I'm just like back and forth and I'm just unsure. But I was like, wait. You just charging up, bro. Like, this is you getting a better and clearer perspective on how you want to come out of this. So for every month that went by, that's another step. You know, every hour, that's another moment to think about how we're going to come out of this and then how much better I'm going to be, how more effective I'm going to be, how much more I'm going to empower people. Like I never have before. I thought I did it before, but oh no, I'm on it now.
Yeah,
it's a whole game changer. And so that whole year was me stepping back. And then as soon as things slowly start opening back up, I was like, let's go. It's time. I think the best way to look at it, because in the beginning of it, I was like, man, I can't wait for this comeback. Can't wait for this comeback. And I was like, no. You don't wait for it. You make it. You make it happen. There is no I'm waiting on anything. If you're waiting on it, that could be forever. And so the slingshot mindset was, most people are standing still and they're just waiting around. I said, no, my comeback is... The more steps I take back, the more I'm preparing to launch myself.
Yeah.
And so that was the comeback, is the preparing of like strategically taking these small steps back. So then once everything opened back up, which it has for me now I'm just like, I'm shooting and I'm back into a full effect, but with a different and better and clearer perspective on who I want to be, what kind of work I want to do, and what kind of impact I want to make in the community, which is what I did at Dominican High School just recently.
Yeah,
with the show, which is my fourth year of doing this show.
Fourth year.
Yeah.
Tell me about this. How do you work with these? Is it boys and girls? Correct?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody. Now this recent show was an all girls show.
Yeah.
So it was really a lot of women empowerment. I grew up in a household with women, so I'm big on that and I understand what a woman can bring to a tribe, mm-hmm. obviously to a community. And the importance of having their voices be heard and having it be told in their own way, not me speaking for them. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, kids that will run the future.
How old are these girls now?
This is high school, so we're talking 14 to 18.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was cool. But yeah, so the show is called Elevation. Mm-hmm. It only made sense.
Elevation 3.
Yeah, Elevation 3.
Yeah.
Now, 3 is my number. So this year was very significant. And what the message was behind it was even more significant because of the space I was coming out of. Mm-hmm. The best way to describe the show is, obviously, we focus on mental health and self-care and individuality, equality, just all these different things I think that we should talk about in the world. But we tell, well, like I said, but we're telling these stories through these kids' voice. The kids see everything. It's not like when I was a kid where I didn't have a cell phone. I'm not up to date with everything. No, they know everything.
Yeah, they
so
do.
If they have an opinion about it, if they speak on it, it's real mm-hmm. to them. Because kids can care. I mean, a lot of times kids can care less about certain things. But when you talk about, say, it could be politics, it could be religion, it can be just about the world in general. Mm-hmm. If they're speaking on it, you probably should take it in. They're part of this whole thing too. So let's not downplay their voice. Let's not disregard what they have to say. Oh, they're just kids. Nope. There's power in that.
There is.
And also, when I'm old and gray, I want them to be in the right mindset. I want them to take care of me the way I'm taking care of them now.
Of course.
It's a two-way street.
So Temple of Growth was the name of the show.
Yeah, Temple of Growth.
And what kind of change did you see in these girls? Because you started with them 6-8 weeks ago when you started practicing, probably.
Yeah, not even, because we had COVID, so we couldn't be in the building a lot of time, so our practices were short.
What kind of did you see them change?
Yeah, so you saw this, like, you saw... There was these different moments. I'm not going to say just one moment, like a turning point. It was many turning points of like what this means to them just to create again, too. So I had my year off from nothing, or like I had nothing for a year, but they also did, too. They weren't even in school. So this is the first time interacting with each other, being able to be back in school and to actually create again. So we're all in the same place.
Yeah.
Literally, it's not like, OK, I'm an adult, so I'm in a different place. No, we all had to sit still. So we're all coming at this as like, we're all grateful to just be able to do anything. Mm-hmm. How many schools had things stripped from them? Sports, arts, you know. Just
graduations, proms.
Yeah, everything.
All
that
stuff.
So if you get to do anything, you're not going to take that lightly at all. So there was this automatic appreciation for being in a space and for each other because we all are choosing to be there. Now, yeah, there's a lot of kids that still choose to be home or their parents don't want them to be out. But for those parents, too, I much respected them for allowing them to have them come to me so that I can create with them what's important. And we were all talking about where we were mentally. I wrote that show last year in the middle of quarantine. And that show was a reflection of what I was going through. And I think a lot of people could relate to and what they feel. And like I said, looking at yourself in the mirror for quite some time, not just, oh, when I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, wash my face. No, really, what does it look like to look at yourself? What is that? What works for you? What is not working for you? And then dissecting those things and really breaking it down to the T. And so we talked about so many different things in the show, about like not just swiping through life like Tinder or choosing to love for all the right reasons and not just because it's just a thing that we do as a culture. Like that's an example of one. Or choosing to be yourself and not getting caught up in the system, or just the standard of what we were talking about earlier about, well, my greatness is only this, or it's not this because so-and-so said it wasn't. Nope. It's yours. You have to choose that for you. And that comes down to you. And I think that, you know, you can never have too many strong and like powerful women in the world. So to see that, to see them embrace that and tell it through their, like, we're telling one whole story, but they all had individual stories.
Yeah.
And then to see each other compliment each other on what this person was going through and what their story said at this point in the show. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That having them be united and agree on that, which means that we're moving towards something greater, which is, for me, is always greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard you've been called a master of dance and positive vibes, master of movement, which you've called yourself. But what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to leave behind? What do you want people to remember you for?
I was always the guy that stayed true to his roots, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like I, if you follow me on social media or if you know me, I always say team 414 all day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my motto is boss mode all day. I'm always in the mindset of being a boss and being in control of my own destiny. And I want people to know I was true to that, but also more so true to what I came from and what it has meant to me, you know, and what it means to be able to do what I'm doing, where I'm doing it. Most people would say, and I've heard this a lot, you know, over the years as I've like been in my career, why are you still here? Why are you wasting your time? I'm like, so when people say that to me, I'm like, so are you saying I'm too good for my own city? Because that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with that. You're never too good for the place that built you, that made you, you know, that birthed you. Nah, like you need, and I'll speak for myself, I feel like you need different people like myself and whoever else that's creating the community to stay or just to be here, be present. So that it shows the youth it's okay to create still. You can build from the inside out. You don't have to go to the coast to be somebody.
And you can be something in the city.
Yeah, which plays back into what the standard is. You think that, okay, yes, Milwaukee's not LA. So you think, okay, since it's not that standard of that, then I can't be great. That's false. I'm showing you every single day that that narrative can change. You can literally do it from here in any way that you want to.
Yeah,
I've been blessed enough to, yeah, dance, of course, but to bring my message of positivity and, like I say, individuality and empowerment to every space I've ever created in. That's rare. I've never really seen that. Like, and then to make it not like, oh, I got to force it in there and this is what, because this is what I'm about. So I have to get this message across. It's like, nope, it just somehow naturally is able to flow and people allow me to create that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest accomplishments I would say I've had in my life is being able to build people up through whatever space I'm in.
Yeah.
I can live with that. You know, that is more important to me, like I said, than a two-step.
Yeah.
For sure. So
what's the last nice thing you did for yourself? I always ask everybody this. Mm-hmm. People always stumble.
Stumble with it?
It's people stumble with the question. They don't know how to answer it. Mm. What's the last nice thing you did just for you?
Therapy. Like choosing to do it because it wasn't, I had a few people, you know, say, yeah, you should do this. And, you know, you have people on your back about it, but it's like you, at the end of the day, you still got to choose to make that decision. You got to choose to get up and go there and sit in there and release, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually doing it. I'm not just putting it off or, saying, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then I don't actually do it because we've all probably been in that space.
We've all kicked the can down the road.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. And I was like, nah, the last realest thing or best thing, you know, that I've done for myself was say, let's unload. Stop holding up this. Because what I learned, and this is one of the realest realizations I've ever had in my life, especially in therapy, but just in life in general, was my greatest weapon, which was positivity, was my greatest downfall. Because I used it as a shield to cover up all my insecurities, my fears, and what was really going on with me. Oh, Chris is the strong friend. We don't got to check on him.
Those are the ones I got to worry about the most sometimes.
You think about Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, people like that brought so much joy to the world.
I get it all the time. I'm a very upbeat person, very happy person, very chill person. Yep. A lot of people always check on me. Are you sure you're okay?
Yep.
Is everything all right with you?
And you're like, yeah. What do you mean? Like, no, that's good. Mm-hmm. That someone still cares enough to say, I see through that, that I know that there's something else. But just in general, that's just, we're human. There's no possible way that you're always up. That's unrealistic. And for me, I was like, if I really want to connect to people, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be honest in that. Because when it seems unrealistic, no one can really connect to that. Like, wait, he's just always positive. That he has no down days. You know, like we all have that. And it's like when we all can come to that like mutual ground and realize that, it's like, okay, then we can actually talk now instead of this person that has this shield. Like, no, I'm just positive. There's nothing ever wrong with me. It's like, how can I be real with this person when they're not being real with themselves, that they have downfalls too?
That's almost a phrase I hate, but toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Because then it's not allowing yourself even to feel the bad.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're only feeling the good.
Yeah.
And you're not feeling the bad. You got to feel it all. You got to feel all your emotions. Everyone.
It's what you're brushing under the carpet, like we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Especially if I'm going to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I could easily just be some dancer dude that you teach classes and that's, you just straight to the point, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, nah, what dance has brought now, and this is the honest to God truth, and this is something that I didn't realize until like the last 2-3 years, is that dance and the art that I do and all that is just an extension of me. That's not my true calling. Inspiring people is.
I like that.
Uplifting people is. That's what I was put here to do. Like, some people, like I said, they feel like their voices are, they feel like they're small, and some might feel like, yeah, mine is big, you know, or some might feel like it doesn't matter, and some like feel like they do, but I was put here to utilize my voice in a way to bring people through, you know, get them through something, to get them to something. That's what it really is, because I'm like, I see the difference in how someone feels when you're teaching them a routine in comparison to how they feel when you're building them up. Mm-hmm. It's like night and day. It's two different things. Now, yeah, the routine may look great, but like I said, that's like for this moment, but how you feel and who you are as a person.
How they feel when they leave that class.
Yeah. You know, and I stress to my students as I work in at a couple of studios. Obviously, I teach in high schools, inner city, you know, and out on the outskirts as well. It's like, I'm not necessarily here to try and make you the best dancer in the world. I know you're here to take class, right? So you would think that, but I was like, but we can't dance forever. I can't dance forever. There's going to be a day where I'm old and gray, and I just ain't got it like
arthritis
that.
Arthritis is going to kick in. The knees are going to give out.
And it feels like that's now to a certain extent. But what I can do is try to shape and mold who you are and how you feel as a person, mind-wise and in the heart. And when your mind and your heart is right, I think that will lead to you being a great person forever. Because you can't be a great dancer forever, because like I said, it's going to end one day. But who you are as a person and you being a great person, that could be forever. That's more impactful to me. When you ask me about my legacy, I want that to shine through. To say, oh, like, nah, he didn't do all that, but he was a part of my journey. He made me really sit back and reflect on how I can better this thing called life, how I can be better in this thing called the world. Because it just, I don't know, it makes much more sense when everybody's upbeat. You know, I get it. That won't always be the case, but you can always try. You can always put the work in. You're never too good or too busy to not look out for the next person.
Yeah.
You know, me, that's why I choose to write every day on my social media, like wherever I post every day, something positive about self or just growth or just building with other people. That's 5 minutes out of my day. 5 minutes out of 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never too good to not uplift somebody. Or if our timelines are crazy, it's so much different stuff. If I'm the one person out of that day that was like, okay, he made me look at the world just a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I can live with that. That's not asking too much. Like, that's the bare minimum. Yeah. We should be doing that. You know what I mean? So it's on us. I mean, we are what we make of it. And if we're not the one supporting each other, who is?
We're all we got.
Yep. Literally. Yep. Like, that's literally the case. I don't know anything else. You go to the grocery store and the produce is there. Who put it there? Somebody did that.
Uh-huh.
You need your car fixed on. You need them tires redone, whatever. Somebody else is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all about investing to other people that are able to do something that maybe you don't do or that can do something that can, you know, better you as a person. So shoot, we here together, we might as well make it work.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
You're a force. You're an energy. I love you, man. You're a very cool dude. And I'm going to put up your socials down in the description of this podcast so people can link up with you and, you know, stay in touch with you and what you're doing next. What is next for you? What are you doing next? What's
man,
next?
Man, so I am gearing up for summer. Summer is always interesting. I know it won't be what it was last summer because everything was shut down. There was nothing happening. But I'm always hit the floor running with teaching so many different classes. I'm at Salute Society on 2372 North MLK Drive. That's my home base. Mm-hmm. And then I'm teaching at a few other spaces. So I'll be offering kids classes. I already offer adults now every Wednesday at Salute.
Hip-hop dances for adults?
Yep.
My co-host, Allie, wants to do that.
Okay, yeah.
I gotta send her out there.
Yeah, come see me. Yeah, man. That's all about upliftment, too. It's going back to the basics. You know, fundamentals are important, I think, with anything that you do in life. Sometimes you might reach a certain point in your career and you're so up there that you just like, why would I need to go back to that? No, it's important to go back to a base, to have something that you can still connect to, or just say, this is where I started, you know, so that other people can build from that. And so that class is all about empowering other people to be more comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, like I said, trying to be the best dancer. It's just, I just want to feel good about myself on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, most of the times, who knows what you're going through, but they don't call it hump day for no reason. So it's Wednesdays is when I'm there. So I try to like get people through it so they can get to their weekend, maybe relax or whatever you got to get to or whatever you want to do.
It's true. You're starting a movement by using movement, and I love that.
Yeah, right. And that's the most important thing. So, yeah, the classes, and I have some other work that I'll be working with back in the theater world as well. That'll be this fall, like September. It's like a hip-hop playwright, so it should be – I'll make sure that I'll be posting about it on my socials and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, check me out.
Keep us posted. I'd love to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, man. We'll talk.
Good.
We just didn't start it, so that's the best.
Christopher Gilbert, man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Good time, man.
Good luck to all you're doing, and keep doing what you're doing.
You too, man.
Thank you.
I see you.
I told you. Good conversation. Super awesome dude, Christopher D'Angelo Gilbert. Find him on Instagram at BMADBOSS, BMADBOSS. He's worth a follow, I promise you. Thanks again for checking out a Riggs Off the Radio podcast on Mental Health Monday. I'll talk to you next time. It is Mental Health Awareness Month, so remember, be kind to your mind, and we'll talk soon, all right? Enjoy the rest of your day, your afternoon, your weekend, your night, whatever it is you happen to be doing. And as always, make good life decisions.